Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
And understanding about you, Lord, we purpose that we will not treat your word as light, that we will be focused and attentive on your word and to your spirit. Lord, that we ask that you give us ears that hear and eyes that see and hearts that understand. And we will treasure this word, Lord, because it is health and medicine to all our flesh. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It is meat, it is bread, it is milk, it is sustenance to our spirit. And Lord, we know that as we do, are doers of your word, we are blessed in what we do. So we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to come together and be in our own building and be able to minister to those that are watching online. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you would open to, I'm going to have you go to Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to just kind of wrap up tonight by going through the Hall of Fame of Faith, which we will not get through at all because there's a lot there. And just draw out some different truths from the Word. You know, Timothy, Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, he said, he told Timothy, make sure that you give yourself to the public reading of Scripture. And a lot of times, if you're in a church and you're not getting lots of Scripture, you're starving to death spiritually. If you're getting psychological bullet points and psychology information, life skills, good habits, but they're not founded in Scripture and Scripture's not given with them, then your spirit's not being fed. Now your intellect. How many know this? The world has lots of good ideas. And there are ideas that they have that work, but they're not functioning or found in Scripture. And unless they're founded on Scripture, then you're on shifting sand. Does that make sense? Because Jesus said, His word is rock. And if you hear it and do it, it is solid, and He will perform His word in your life. So you always want to have Scripture for what you are believing for, what you're expecting, and what you're living by. I'm going to read to you just a couple of scriptures that we've used as kind of main texts. You can stay in Hebrews 11 there and just listen for a second. Habakkuk 2:4 says, Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. That same passage is quoted in Romans 1:17 and Galatians 3:11. In 1 John 5:4, it says, For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. I could preach that, but I'm not going to. I like that verse. And it says this, John goes on to say, And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. You know, it's interesting. You should listen to a guy that they tried to boil in oil and couldn't kill. Because that's what happened with John the Apostle. You know, they tried to boil him in oil and they couldn't kill him. We'll just put him on an island. He'll die eventually. We can't shut him up any other way, so we'll just put him on an island. So they eventually did. But of course, he knew the Lord very well. And there's a lot of good truths in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. So tonight, I want to discuss this. There's a scripture. The enemy desires that we let go of our faith. Okay? And this is kind of where I've been at in this series. I've found that most Christians do not have a problem getting faith. I've found that most Christians struggle in maintaining faith. And what it boils down to usually is, and this is the same in my own life, it's the area where I've had to fight the hardest, is in the area of endurance. The scripture says, through faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God. Now, that word patience is actually the word endurance. Okay? So when it comes to your faith walk and your Christian life, endurance is almost as important as faith. Does that make sense? I heard a minister say it this way one time, and I thought, yeah, that's pretty good. I like that. He said, you really have no more faith than you do patience or endurance. You know, there are people that will get grand ideas, and they'll be, and it's a genuine, I believe it is a genuine experience that people have in an encounter with God. because you can see it. I've had people come up to me after a meeting, or I've been in a meeting with friends or whatever, and I've even done this, where you hear God say something to you, and you go, this is it, and you can see the fire in their eye, and you can hear the excitement in their voice. And when faith is present, there's joy, there's expectation, there's excitement, there's this anticipation of what you just heard God say to you. And then there's the time in between the seed and the harvest. You know, how many like it when it's seed time, harvest? I mean, everybody likes that. There's nobody, you know, naturally speaking, who doesn't like that? How many have prayed a prayer and God, it's like 10 minutes later, the answer comes, you know what I mean? And then you've prayed about other things and it was like 5 years ago and you're like, maybe I lost it. That's what the enemy would like you to think. And really in the spirit, there's no time. So you don't lose your prayers. You may let go of the answer, but you don't lose your prayer. God heard your prayer and he doesn't miss nothing. You know what I mean? Everything is recorded. He's not disorganized and disheveled. He knew every prayer that you've ever prayed in faith. He knows. And he has that, and he has the answer. How many know in him all the promises of God are yes and amen? So the false side of it always is on us. Did you know that? Sometimes people don't like that. I think our group's getting used to the idea that maybe it's me that needs to change. But some people believe in no-fault religion. You know, no matter what happens, it's not my fault. You know, it's just God's going to do whatever he's going to do. Well, that's not biblical. It doesn't line up with Scripture. But many times, either by ignorance or disobedience, we miss out on what God has for us. Either by ignorance or disobedience. Now, ignorance is fixable, right? Because now, some people don't like the word ignorant, but I'll just say this. It just means you don't know. It doesn't mean you can't learn. Nobody in this room is stupid because you have the mind of Christ. And people say, well, you know, you just don't know what kind of grades I got in school. The Holy Spirit does not care what kind of grades you got in school. He created you. He understands you. He knows the language to speak to you that only you will understand. Okay? And God is not in heaven going, watch how smart I am. I'm going to say something to it. None of them are going to get it. He doesn't upbraid us with his wisdom. In other words, he doesn't make us feel stupid. He says it in a way and in such a way and in the right tone and with the right descriptive words that when you hear it, your heart goes, hey, and you receive it in. And inside his word, faith comes by and hearing by the word of God. Now, that can be a written word or that can be a word by the Holy Spirit to you directly. Okay, faith will come either way. And so he knows that. He already knows that. He knows where you're at. So anybody can learn and carry and walk in the wisdom of God if they will believe. And I'll just say this. Anybody, if you are on the planet, you are created to believe. Because God created you and he didn't create a doubter. He gave you a free will so you can choose which you want, but you can choose to believe. Amen? Otherwise, it would be unfair for him and unjust for him to expect us to believe if we couldn't. Does that make sense? So keep that in mind as we're moving along here. Most people end up letting go of their faith. 1 Timothy 6:12 says this, fight the good fight of faith. And then I like this next phrase right here. It says, lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold is a great descriptive or adjective there. It's a great descriptive phrase. In other words, God says, it doesn't say here, fight the good fight of faith and eternal life will fall on you like ripe cherries off of a tree. You have to lay hold. Okay? You got to lay hold. In order to fight the good fight of faith, you have to lay hold of eternal life. Now, you lay hold of eternal life, one, by getting born again. That's the start. But then every word from God that's a promise to us in the new covenant established in the blood and body of Jesus Christ carries within it eternal life. It carries with it eternal life. And I'm going to show you this in Hebrews. We're going to see this. Everything in this life is either being affected by the disruption, the violence, the disturbance of the enemy, or it is being affected by eternal life. Think about it this way. You realize Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." Well, if just general humans were the salt of the earth, we wouldn't have the problems that we have. Salt's a preservative, right? How are you salt? Because you have eternity in you. You see, environmentalists want to save the planet, but they want to destroy Christianity. They're going to destroy the planet even quicker if they destroy Christians. Why? Because we be the salt. That's why. We it. We are preserving this planet more than they realize. Why? We carry eternal life. We are the body of Christ. We are Christ as a whole. The body of Christ, the church, is Christ in the earth. Does that make sense? We are his hands, his feet, and all that. And so in his nature comes through us. So I'm gonna show you that here in just a little bit. So we're to fight the good fight of faith. Well, let's look at Hebrews 11:1. We'll start there, and we'll see how far we get. I always have big dreams of going far into my notes, and it never happens. But at least we have too much. I'd rather have too much than too little. How about you? Hebrews 11:1 says this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2, for by it the elders, what? Obtained. They did what by faith? They obtained. What does it mean to obtain? It means I'm taking something, right? I'm going to obtain that. They did this by faith. Now, what did they obtain? They obtained a what? A good testimony, right? So, what we see here right off is faith is what causes us to obtain a good testimony. Obtaining something implies that it does not come automatically. Correct? Okay. People say, well, I'm saved by grace through faith. Yeah, but it's got to come through faith. Okay. Grace is the door Jesus came, he extended grace. Grace is unearned, undeserved favor, and grace is also divine empowerment. It's both. But operating in grace requires what? Faith. You have to operate in it by faith. Okay, so for all the people that are listed in this chapter, there are a whole lot more who are not. You say, why did you write that? Because those who live by faith are usually rarer than those who don't. And I don't mean not cooked as well. Okay? They're rarer. They're not as... Faith is opposite of this planet right now. Now, originally, it was not. Originally, it was not opposite of this planet. And I'm going to show you where... And we're going to talk about Noah, where the enemy got everything so cattywampus that God had to wipe the map almost completely clean and start over. Because he had worked in his garbage so much. So, this chapter is the account of people who heard from God, obeyed his word, endured with patience. In other words, they didn't become double-minded. Right? They were single in focus. Endured with patience and finally received the promise. They received the promise. So this chapter is the account of people who heard from God, obeyed his word, endured with patience. They didn't allow doubt in. You need to believe this about you. You don't have to doubt. Yeah, it usually goes over about like that. Most people don't shout over that. They should. But you don't have to doubt. Jesus said you could, Jesus told us in James, through the Apostle James, he said, you don't have to doubt. You can choose to believe. See, and this is what pleases God is when we go, man, everything looks like it's falling apart, but you know what? Glory to God, I count it all joy. Thank you, Lord. Your word is working. It's working in my life. You ever do this? You pray about something and it feels like you're further from it a week later than when you first prayed about it? That's the perfect opportunity to rejoice. Why? Because it's your when the manifestation comes, you're no longer in faith. Because we walk by faith, not by... So once you see it, do you need faith for it? No, you already got it. So that's where your endurance is tested. And like we're going to see here, this is where people please God. This is where people please God, is when they stand in faith. So verse number 3 says this. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are what? Visible. See, everything we see was not made of things visible. It was made of things invisible. Now, here's what the Holy Spirit said to me about this. First is, by faith we understand. The word understand means to consider, comprehend, or perceive. It means to think. So if you're gonna improve your ability to perceive, you better by faith understand. People say, well, once I understand it, then I'll believe. No, you believe first and then you'll understand it. See, you have to believe that you can understand. Say it with me. I can learn anything God tells me. Yeah, you can. You can. It's not based on degrees. It's not based on the world's mapping of intelligence. It's not based on the size of the brain or not the size of the brain. It's not based on your genetic code. People say, well, those things influence those things. No, I understand that, but faith supersedes natural. God is not in heaven going, I don't know what to do either. How are we ever going to, you know, see, and I went to faith school with Kenneth Hagin, and when he was born again and then healed of an incurable blood disease and a deformed heart by faith, everybody told him he had to die, but he got a hold of Mark 11, 23 and 24. See, even the church will tell you you have to die, but if you listen to Jesus, he'll tell you you don't have to. Amen. A lot of times people are religiously brainwashed instead of New Testament taught. Because we function in the soul realm, the natural realm, rather than the spirit. If you want to understand what God thinks about you and your situation, you have to go to His Word. Even well-meaning people will give you bad advice. They will. That doesn't mean you ignore problems. It means you address them accordingly. Okay? So they told him, he said when he was in school, he didn't make nothing but a D. Average in school. Well, they didn't have F's back then. It was just a D. I don't know what you guys had, but we had A, B, C, D, F. And of course, F was failing, right? After he got born again, he made a straight A report card. He said, it wasn't because I all of a sudden just, my mind was just, you know, my intelligence. He said, I learned to live out of my heart instead of out of my head. And we are spirits first. And then we possess a soul, and then we live in a body after that, okay? But most Christians don't function that way. They function the other, they actually function body, mind, and then spirit. When really we should function spirit, mind, and then act. You say, what's the body good for? A slave. That's about it. The desires of your flesh nothing's good's going to come out of it other than you need to wake up in the morning and go, guess what, Bubba? You're doing what I want you to do today. And the flesh will wake up and go, I don't feel like you'll shut up. I'm going to make you run around the block if you don't shut your mouth. And then you just keep going. You got to grab yourself by the nape of the neck. You know what I mean? Because let's face the facts here. Your mom and dad, most people in this room anyway, a few maybe, are not going to come around and whoop your butt if you're doing something you shouldn't be. This is not going to happen because you're all adults. So you are now expected to get yourself in line. Do you know what I mean? Keep your flesh under control. That's a different message. We got to keep moving on here. Stop getting me off track. All right. So we understand the worlds were framed, and they were framed out of things that were not visible. Just because, this is what the Lord said to me, just because you cannot see what made everything does not mean that it does not have substance. Just because you can't see how the worlds were made, in other words, God spoke it and it came into being, does not mean that the unseen does not have substance. Because it does. It has substance and it has influence all around us, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. People say, well, you're just getting hyper spiritual. Actually, I'm just teaching how Jesus lived. And so we need to understand this because spiritual things are very real. Now, people can get goofy with them, but if you stay balanced in the Word, you'll be safe. Listen to Hebrews 11:3 in the Young's literal translation. It says this, by faith we understand the ages to have been prepared by a saying of God. By faith we understand, this is so good, the ages to have been prepared by a saying of God. In other words, you are not anywhere where God has not already spoken into. He's the beginning and the, he just went and spoke it. And then our job in our place in the midst of where that's at is to tap into his words by faith in our generation. And release and have the blessings of God in our own life and be lights to the world. Does that make sense? We get an opportunity while we're on the earth. In the Passion Translation, actually, let me read the rest of that verse in Young's literal. It says, in regard to the things seen, not having come out of things appearing. I love that. It's almost a little tricky, but this is a literal translation of this verse, okay? So Young's literal is a literal translation. It says, by faith we understand the ages to have come. To have been prepared by a saying of God in regard to things seen, not having come out of things appearing. In other words, what I see didn't come out of what is appearing. What I see came out of unseen. It was spoken from a place and delivered and then manifested here. In the Passion Translation, it says this, faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated. The ages were completely equipped by the power of God's word. You are completely equipped by the power of God's word. Now, you could say the ages, and you know, you think about, people think about the ages. The ages could mean, you know, 1996 to 1997. It could be 1969 to 1970, those ages. But you could also put your ages in there. I'm equipped at 21. I'm equipped at 41. Why? Because the word of God is there. I'll be equipped at 42. I'll be equipped at 43. As long as I'm on this earth, as long as there is an age and I'm functioning in it, the word of God has provided equipment for me that I can grasp by faith and operate in his power right here, right now. You are a child of God. You are not a slouch. You are not a defeated one. You have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead living on the inside of you. Right now, this is why faith is so important. Faith touches every area of your life. If your situations, if the enemy can get your situations to be overwhelming to you, he'll kind of, it's almost like he can suffocate that faith. He can never kill it. You understand? He can't kill it. Unless you give it to him, he can't take it. And even if you did give it up, you can go take it back at any time. Say, shut up, devil. I'm taking that back. You can't have that. You say, you don't talk to the devil like that. You better talk to the devil like that. I'm not saying you should talk to your spouse like that. I'm saying you should talk to the devil like that. Okay? I heard one preacher one time, His wife told him to get thee behind me. I thought, whoa, this is daring, daring marriage right there. Faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated. The ages were completely equipped by the power of God's word. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. How do you like that? That makes sense? God spoke. That's the Passion Translation. And the invisible realm gave birth to everything you see. Now, this is how God created the universe, correct? He created everything this way, okay? What did Jesus do constantly while he was here on earth? He spoke from the invisible and brought it into through methods. You say, what do you mean methods? He laid hands on sick people and sickness left. Where did the sickness come from? From the unseen. Because everything in this earth, good or bad, finds its origination behind the scenes. It doesn't find its origination in evolution. You ever notice that everything the world comes up with ultimately ends in slaughtering of some group of people as far as an answer? Do you know evolutionists are there and geneticists in that group, and even during like Hitler's day, they were trying to find the perfect gene. They literally, and I've watched, you probably know this too, but Hitler would slaughter those with Down syndrome and things like that. They would gas them and get rid of them. Why? Because in the evolution mindset, they think, well, they're just a corruption, a mess up in the gene code. They're not a human, and we got to eliminate that so we can eliminate Down syndrome. Or so we can eliminate those things that are what we might think, what they would call hindrances to the proper evolution and development of human society. Where God doesn't do that. He looks at something that is contrary or out of order from his word and goes, I just need to speak another word over that and correct it. You see that? God values every human. That's why Christians are against abortion. Why? Because it's slaughter of his creation. See, God doesn't look at us as, he looks at us as the price of his son. And inside of that, we need to understand that, because then when we understand it, we can speak from that place into others and give life to them. Let eternity flow through us. Amen? So verse number 4 says this, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. Wow. That's a good testimony. I want to speak after I'm dead. Do you know Paul is still speaking after he's dead? Do you know James is still speaking after he's dead? Do you know John still speaks? Jesus still speaking. Come on. Isaiah the prophet didn't even see Jesus in the natural, and he's still speaking. Why? These things are eternal. This is an eternal truth. We want to walk in such faith that generations from now, they go, oh yeah, your great-great-great-grandpa Mike was a faith guy. That's why we're so blessed today. And here's the record of his life. And they go, and the great-great-grandkids go, yeah, look at that. I want to do that. And he's still speaking, even though he's dead. And that's what happened with Abel here. So let's go to Genesis chapter 4. And let's look at what Abel did. And we'll talk about what Cain did too, while we're at it. Because Cain didn't operate in faith. He got out of faith. Genesis chapter 4, verse number 1 says this. It says, now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. So Cain was the firstborn of the two. And said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock. and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Could you do something that God doesn't respect? Yes. Yep. How do you do that? You don't do it from faith. You just do it out of your own, this is what I'm going to do. God, this is what I have, this is what you get. That's not respectful to God. You don't tell God what he gets. You yield to God and say, God, what do you want? Now, I'm not just talking about offerings here. This is in all of life. Okay? This is in all of life. Lord, you know me. You made me. You created me. You're my creator. I'm not going to function like the devil does. We're learning this on Sundays. I'm not going to function the way he does. I'm not having my own opinion about myself. I yield to you. You made me. You gifted me. You created me. You know my inside. You know my outside. You know every part of me. You know what you made me for. So I yield myself to you. Decide what I do. Because as humans, we do not have the capability outside of the true worship and submission to God to be able to handle the gift that's been given to us. You say, what gift is that? The gift to be here now and serve him and be inside of a body. Well, it doesn't feel like much of a gift. Well, originally, it was better than it is now. But Adam and Eve did something they shouldn't have. We're not going to talk about that right now. But anyway, they messed it up. But don't worry, Jesus came and he was the second Adam. And he's redeemed us, listen to me, 100% all the way back, the full manifestation we will see thereof shortly. But God doesn't have to do anything else to get us all back into order. So here, Cain didn't give the offering that he should have. He didn't do it right. He wasn't following the Lord like he should have. And it says this, and Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. You can always tell when people are out of faith. Because they're what? Their countenance goes, ugh. Do you think Abel's countenance was down? Nope. Why? Because he did what he was supposed to. Abel was like, whew, glory to God. Did you see that? I gave the Lord from my flock and the fat, and he went, whew, and ate that thing up. And it was accepted. And Cain went up and go, here it is, Lord. And the Lord went, no, that's not it. That's not it. That's not the one. Now, I love this about the Lord. We're submissive, right? Yeah, we submit to this word. And I know this will make you think. I know it does. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Now, here's a question. A question deserves an answer. Have we ever looked at questions in Scripture before? Jesus said to Peter, Peter, why did you doubt? The Lord likes asking questions. It's not because he doesn't know the answer. God's not in heaven going, Cain, seriously, why are you angry? I don't know why. Why are you so upset? People see God this way, but God's not sitting there going, oh, it's okay, Cain. Don't be angry. Why are you angry? It's okay. That's not what God's doing here. Why are you angry, Cain? This is an opportunity for Cain to go, why am I angry? You ever been angry about something and you're not really sure why? You're just in anger? I'm just mad. Why? I don't know. I'm just mad. Well, maybe you should heed the Lord. Why are you angry? Analyze why you're angry. Why is Cain angry? Cain's angry because he did wrong, Abel did right, and he thought his should be accepted and it wasn't. Well, let me help you with how the Lord thinks. Just because we think it should be that way doesn't mean that God adjusts to us. Amen. It means that we get to look at ourselves and go, Lord, show me why I'm angry. What's going on here? Now, Cain is being given what? He's being given opportunity to get in faith. Faith is what pleases God, right? This is what pleases God. Cain is being given opportunity to go, yeah, maybe I ought to adjust here. Getting mad at your brother or sister who's in faith will never help you. Getting upset or feeling offended, jealous or angry at your brother or sister who got a manifestation of the promise of God in faith will never help you grow. It will always cause you to retreat even further away from the will and the presence of God. Always. Always. Let's look at this. So verse number 6. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? In other words, it's written all over your face, boy. What's going on? If you do well, will you not be accepted? This is what the Lord says to Cain. In other words, what is the Lord telling Cain? Cain, just adjust and get in faith. Cain, just repent and get in faith. Come on, how many in here have ever not been in faith and you needed to repent and get in faith? I lift both hands. I'd lift both feet, but you know. We all need to do these adjustments. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Look at this. And its desire is for you. How many know that sin's desire is for you? But you should rule over it. Does that remind you of anything? Does that remind you of a few chapters ago? Hey, Adam and Eve, you're in charge of the garden. Subdue it. Hey, Cain, pay attention. Sin's crouching at the door. Rule over it. You have the ability to rule over it. Now, we're in a better position than Cain ever was. At this point, you realize that. We're born again. Cain did not have Jesus in him. We do. We can rule over the enemy. Amen? But you're going to have to get after it in faith and stay with it. Now, verse 8 says this, now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. So what did Cain not do? He did not analyze why his countenance had fallen correctly or the fact why he was angry. He did not rule over sin, but the Lord had warned him previously, correct? The Lord had not only given him opportunity to repent, he empowered him with his own word on how to do it. Because Cain heard God talk to him, and we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But what took place in Cain's life is that he became double-minded. He did not do what James said. Stick with single-mindedness. When you pray, when you hear from God, when you know God has spoken to you, don't give opportunity for your mind to go another direction. Stay with what the Lord said. Cain should have walked around until his temper calmed down, saying, I will rule over this. 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 Why? Because the Lord has said to me that I can. And then you say, what should Cain have done? He should have sat down with his younger brother and said, Abel, now explain to me how you pleased God, because I need to know how. That's what he should have done. So what do we see here? After what we've been talking about in faith up to this point, we see that Cain did not stay single focused in his attention toward God. He did exactly what Peter did. He began to look at wind and waves, and then he focused at wind and waves. Instead of crying out, he acted upon the enemy's influence and his words, his deception, his violence, instead of yielding to divine order in God's words. Make sense? So that's how people get out of faith. When they start out good, and then along the line, they get turned. Now watch what happened to Cain. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? What's the answer? Yes, he is. Do you know what the word keeper means? It means to hedge about. It means to protect. It means to guard. Do you know faith will guard his brother? Faith will protect his brother? Do you know faith concerning the things of God and the church of God does not have double speech? It doesn't have double speech. It has single speech. It protects, guards, it surrounds the things of God and the purpose of God. And it protects and shields up and swords up when the enemy comes around. So then he says this. He said, what have you done? It's not like God doesn't know. But he says this, the voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. Isn't that interesting? What did the earth do? It opened its mouth to receive his brother's blood from your hand. So all these things are connected. In the spirit, this stuff is all taking place, and God sees it. Now it's happening. You see, we look at things in the natural. We don't see it from behind the scenes. And there's no way you can unless the Lord opens your eyes or he opens your eyes through the word. But these are the things that are going on behind the scenes. God sees it. He knows it. It's going on. What was God's original intent for Cain, though? It was to redeem him, and this should never happen. Now, watch how good God even is in the midst of it. Now, it says this, so now you are cursed, this is what the Lord said, from the earth. Did God do that because he was in a bad mood that day? What did God do? God allowed or gave or permitted what Cain acted upon and seeded and harvested. God was not just in a bad mood that day. Well, I just don't like this land. I don't like Cain. And I don't even like his name. I don't even know why they named him that. I don't like that name. I'm going to curse the ground. I'm just done with this. I can't stand it anymore. I like Abel. He was nice, but he killed him. No, I just don't like him no more. No, this is a harvest off of a what? Seed. Off of an action, correct? Okay. So then he says this. He says, what have you done? He talked about that. And then he says, you're cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth and received your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond, you shall be on earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. That's something to think about before you do what you shouldn't. Did God warn Cain? And now Cain's turning around going, this is too much for me. Well, God knew that. That's why God warned Cain in advance. Don't go there. So then he says this. He says, surely you have driven me out of this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. Why would all those things happen? Now, you read this in this translation, and it almost feels like God's just doing this. No, this is a harvest off of what Cain did. This is a seed time and harvest. This is the harvest you get if you sow the death seed. So why was the ground cursed? Why would people want to kill him? Why would all those things happen? Because he's no longer in God's presence. Why is he no longer in God's presence? Because he made a decision to leave it. Amen. Or oh me, one or the other. But it's true nonetheless, right? This is what I love about the Lord. We always get opportunity to repent. We always get opportunity to go back and look. So he says this. He says, and the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken upon him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. But he still had to leave the presence of God. And still in that, God had mercy on him. And let him continue to live on the earth. Do you see that? Even in the midst of all of it. Now let's look at this again. I want to just show you just a couple of things here. It says here in verse 12, when you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. That's difficult because in verse 2, it says Cain was a tiller of the ground. Do you see that in Cain's rebellion against God and his attack on Abel, he destroyed the gift of God that God had given him? Do you see that? He ended up destroying himself, and what he thought was doing was advancing what he wanted. In the enemy's ability to get into him and work in his area of life and him yielding to it, he ended up causing frustration in the ground that he was supposed to be able to till and produce what God had called him to produce. This is so vital. This is what the Lord showed me. In today, in the church, when it comes to our brothers and worship, because this all has to do with worship right here. Because this has to do with offerings to God. It has to do with work. It has to do with corporate things. We have to watch how we treat our brother and sister in Christ. Because if we don't, we'll end up cursing the very ground we're walking on. Now watch this. It says this in verse 12. He said this. He said, it shall no longer, talking about the ground, he says, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. When we disobey God and get out of faith, the things that are God's gift in our life and his provision, it hinders their ability to produce harvest in our life. Do you see that? You say, why do we have to talk about this? Oh, we're going to talk about things like this way more. You say, why? Because I actually want a genuine move of God. And if it hurts me, my flesh, and I have to go down the line and go, oh, I got to quit doing that, and I got to quit doing that, and I got to quit doing that. And shut your mouth, boy. Sean, shut up. Don't say that. Don't say this. Keep your tongue honest. Keep your tongue pure on your brother and sister in Christ so that we can see a manifestation. See, I remember hearing this years ago, and it's made more and more sense the longer I've walked with the Lord. If you want to remain strong, if you want to remain healthy, if you want to remain in the fullness of what God has for you, and you want to see the manifestation of the fullness of what God has promised to you, then just the call by itself is not enough to keep you there. They used to say this to us, and it's so true. Even, I think it's in Proverbs, but your gift will take you before great men, but your character will keep you there. Why would God dump out a ton of power to be to the church, to be able to walk in power and speak and see things happen, and pray and see things happen, and minister to people and see things happen to a group of people that are going to not walk in his level of character and the fruit of the Spirit? What if all the power, what if everything you said about somebody came to pass? I know it hurts me too. In other words, it hurts my flesh, because I know I need to come up in my faith. I need to go to another level in my love walk. I need to come up and submit to God and look at the Lord. And when the Lord says to me, Sean, why are you acting like this? I don't need to go, I'm not my brother's keeper. What do you mean? Don't talk to me about that, Lord. I need to go, oh yeah, I'm sorry. Yep, you're right. Why am I doing this? Why am I thinking this way? Now, this doesn't have to be public confession. You know, it's not like we're going to raise hands and everybody's going to come up and say every nasty thing they said about somebody else. This is something we take care of in our private prayer life. The Lord didn't take care of this in front of everybody. He dealt with Cain. And so faith, in order for it to function at its highest level, we have to watch that we don't get off in looking at others and getting in competition, being jealous or envious like Cain was. Well, I don't understand why the Lord liked his offering and not my offering. I don't know why it has to be that way. I mean, I work just as hard as Abel did. Do you see this attitude? Oh man, it comes up. You want to know why? Because it's in your flesh. And the enemy will feed that thing. And he'll try and give it impetus in thoughts coming to your mind. Have you ever imagined people were saying something or responding to you in a certain way, and then you go and talk to them about the situation? It was nothing like you thought. You know why? Because those thoughts were not from the Holy Ghost. It wasn't a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. Well, I have the gift of discernment. You have the gift of suspicion. There's a difference. The flesh is that way. It'll look at the gifts of the Spirit and go, I want to do that. You say, how can you prove that? Because one of the deeds of the flesh is witchcraft. That's how. Your flesh is given that way to go. Your flesh is so proud. You cannot trust your flesh as far as you can throw it. You have to dominate that thing. And if you don't, by the word of God and by the grace of God, then you'll find yourself in a position that you wish you weren't. Amen? All right, that was a fun one. We better move on. I got a whole lot more notes there, but we're not going to make that. All right, Genesis chapter 5, verse number 18. No, I'm going to skip that one too. Go to Genesis chapter 6. And I'm going to read down in Hebrews, and it says this. You stay in Genesis, but it says this. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Isn't that awesome? Noah functioned in faith by righteousness before Jesus was on the planet. Oh man, that's awesome. Abraham did the same thing. I love that. I mean, I just love it. You say, why? Because it encourages me. Because these guys tapped into something by faith that they didn't even fully understand. But in hearing God and obeying, they tapped into it. Which means I can do that too. It means you can do that too. Amen. Yeah, glory. And so in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5, we'll look at this here. And we'll take a few faith points out of this. And then we'll call it quits for tonight. We got about, I think, 10 minutes or so. Have you got anything yet? Says this. Genesis 6, I'm going to start in verse 1. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, all of whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days. Were giants real? Yes. And also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters. Now, I will recommend this. I don't think you need to study a ton on the giants. Just a thought. All right, moving on. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Okay? Then, verse 5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of men of his heart was only evil continually. How many know that's a bad situation? Every thought of every human on the planet, except for like 8, were evil continually. What does this look like to you? This looks like perversion to me. This looks like Satan has had his way among men. He has infiltrated the minds and hearts of men to such a degree that there's not even a good thought inside of them. That's bad. Reading on. Verse 6, and the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And he wasn't sorry just because he made man. He was sorry at the condition of the man because of what the enemy had done. It grieved him. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now let me ask you a question. At this point, every thought, every intent, do you think God had worked and been patient with this creation in giving them opportunity to change the way they were? Oh, yeah. What is this action right here of the judgment of God? Does anybody know? It's love. It's mercy. You say it's mercy. There are those, if you study some of the history of this, there are those that believe that even the animals were demon-possessed during this time. You say, I don't know if I believe that, preacher. Jesus cast devils into pigs. Is that true or not? Everybody's looking at me like, huh? What are you saying? An evil spirit affected an animal. Hello. Now, not every animal is demon-possessed, okay? Except for chickens. They're all demon-possessed. I don't have any scripture for that. I just believe it. Because we had roosters, and them suckers were mean. No, they can be influenced. Think about it. Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. The storm's rocking. The water is coming into the boat. The disciples have tried all the life-saving techniques that they know. And finally, they wake up Jesus. Don't you care that we perish? Don't you care? You should never ask the Lord, don't you care? He cares. Okay? What did Jesus get up and do? He rebuked the wind and the waves, right? What were the wind and the waves yielding to? God's hand? God just in a bad mood that day? Sink the boat, sink the boat. I can't stand this boat. I hate this boat. Nope. The enemy was trying to work through the wind and the waves to destroy God's people. And Jesus, see, I'm telling you, everything in this life, now that doesn't mean every storm, you understand what I'm saying? Because Jesus did not walk around going, I want it sunny. No, I want it rainy. No, I want it sunny and rainy. No, I want it overcast. Fog, come in. You say, why do you have to say that? Because I know people in faith camp that think they can do that. That's ridiculous. Jesus did not teach that. He didn't demonstrate that. Neither did the apostles demonstrate that. Now, in the original creation, when there was no influence of the enemy, how many tornadoes were there? How many rough seas were there? There were none. There was nothing out of balance. I don't know how I got off on that, but it was good anyway. All right, so verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. How many want to do that? And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Verse 11. The earth also was corrupt. What does that sound like? Politics. Somebody in the front row said politics. Amen to that. No, the earth was corrupt. What did we read about the enemy? He corrupted the wisdom that God had given him. He perverted it. So the earth had become what? Corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. Filled with violence? What does that sound like? That sounds like what we read about the enemy in Ezekiel, that he was filled with violence. What is violence? Remember, violence is a disruption in the divinely established order of things. That's what violence is. The enemy came in and worked in corruption and violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. So what did the enemy do? He worked through man to what? Corrupt the earth. And God said, verse 13, to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Exact same word used to describe Satan right there. In fact, that word violence is used 55 times in the Old Testament, and it all comes from that same thought, a disruption in the divinely established order of things. It's that same word. And it says this, and God said, verse 13 again, to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence, correct? Through what? Through them. How was the earth filled with violence? Well, it's because the devil's so strong. He's just so mighty. He's so powerful. He just came down on the earth and wham, hit the earth, and all the people didn't know what to do, and they just had to submit to him. Wrong. He came, he enticed, he twisted wisdom, he talked to them, he opened them up in addressing and presenting things that were twisted from God's perspective. They began to look at it, think about it, not remain on God's words, but find new words. They got out of faith and into doubt, unbelief, and division, and corruption, and violence. They took it into themselves. They began to operate in it until all the thoughts and intents of men's heart, for the most part on the planet, were birthed out of this. And then out of that came words, actions, ways of doing things, to the point that the earth had become so infected with the enemy, but through man. Through man. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Why is it important to know that? What do you mean through them? Because it's no different today. Now, here's the good news today. There's enough spirit-filled, sanctified, Word of God believing faith people on the planet that we have salted this rock pretty good. Now, we're going to salt it more than we have. People say, you can never have too much salt, you know? We need more salt on this thing. But just like the enemy can work this, God can do the same in the sense of good through man. Want to hear a cool testimony? I was reading a book the other day. That's not the testimony. That's not the testimony. I was reading a book the other day, and they were talking about how God blesses his people. The blessing of God is upon his people. And this is a man of God who's a pastor in the States, but he was overseas in a mission field. That was a very poverty-stricken area. And in this area, they've been evangelizing, ministering, doing missions work, and Christians are growing, and this area is developing. And they went to this area, this town or village area, and they were walking through the area, and there's all these gardens around the houses. There are gardens everywhere. And as they're walking through, the man that was with the missionary from America, he said, do you see the gardens? And the man said, yeah, I see the gardens. He said, can you tell which ones are Christians' gardens? And he goes, yeah, I can. All their vegetation was bigger, more full, more healthy, and stronger. And the missionary, or the native to that nation, turned to the missionary and said, we pray over our gardens. Everything. Why? Because they're not yielding to the enemy. So the ground yields its strength. In faith, when we yield to God and act on God's word, even the creation goes, whoo, a child of God has just walked in the room. People say, I'm not sure that's me. You better believe that's you. Now, don't make me grab you by the nape of the neck. Now, I am not called to pastor so I can see people go, well, I don't know, Sean, I don't know. I'm called to help you get up and go, come on, devil, let's do this. See, when you understand faith and you understand who you are in Christ, you will get sassy with the devil. Even when it looks like he's just whooped you, you'll go, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Devil, I know you had me before. I know you did some work in my life before, but guess what? I'm changing the way I believe. I'm changing the way I speak. I'm changing the way I live. And guess what? This planet, my life, the gifts and callings of God upon my life, and my ability to increase and serve and be a blessing is coming forth because I'm living in love and faith, and it will yield forth its strength to me. Why? So I can advance the kingdom of God. Here's the cool part about this testimony. That native man who said that to that missionary, he said, we pray for all of our stuff because we know that those who are unbelievers are going to run short and we'll have extra so we're able to minister to them. Praise the Lord. See, Billings is not going to end up corrupt and full of violence. How do you know that? Because the Lord said so. And I'm going to stand on it until my last breath. His word. What if you never see it? I'll see it from the other side. I'll see it from the other side. I'll be in the grandstands going, go, go Caleb, go Taylor, go kids, get it, Faw Boys. Use what we preach to you. We left you a supply of money. We left you the kingdom of God. We left you taught up on faith, and you can go deeper. You know how to hear from the Holy Spirit. We're faith people with faith inside of us, and we release it, stand on the promises. I'm telling you what, we're about to see breakthrough like we've never seen before. And I'm going to be in the middle of it. How about you? Yeah. Why? God's good. You know, I lived for the devil for a while, and it took me a while to get my mind just to where it was decent. Now it's better than it ever was, because I smoked weed and I was stupid. It really affected my head. And the enemy does that. He'll do things like that, and he'll try and destroy and twist and tear apart, and he does that. But the Lord is the restorer. He is the repairer. He brings back. He looks at what is violence and goes, get in line. Come on, he looked at a crippled lady who was bent, and he said, this is a daughter of Abraham. She shouldn't be bound by the devil. Straighten up, woman. And she was straightened up. Isn't that awesome? And that's how we're to function. We are to hear from him and do. Hear from him and do. You say, well, I'm not sure that I'm bold enough to go lay hands on a crooked lady. But are you bold enough to speak to your own body? In the name of Jesus, are you bold enough to share love with your neighbor? In the name of Jesus, are you bold enough to cook a meal for the neighbor across the street? Are you bold enough to mow the neighbor's lawn in the name of Jesus? Come on, you got to start somewhere, do something. And when you do, your faith will begin to grow, amen? And you begin to increase. The more you feed on this word, the more you stay in it. Glory to God. We're going to see manifestations and have testimonies and continue to have testimonies. Why? Because God's good and we're not giving up. We don't use the word give up. How many of you have seen that commercial? That's for, I think it's for DirecTV, the football teams in the locker room. And they're talking, and the football teams, the coach is like, we don't quit, I don't even remember what the team is. I don't know, some team. Doesn't matter what. We'll call them the Titans. Titans don't quit. And apparently they had a rough first half. He's like, we don't quit anything. And they're all like, yeah, that's right. And he said, except for cable. Well, we don't quit anything except for unbelief. We quit that. And we move forward in faith. Amen? Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. You're so good to us. Lord, you've anointed us to hear. You've anointed us to receive. We take it in, your words. Lord, as we move through this week, I know your Holy Spirit will bring back everything to us that you have said to us by your word. And as we do, we'll go over it. We'll repent if we need to repent. We'll change if we need to change. We'll change the way we speak. Lord, we thank you that by your grace, we have the ability to increase and walk in the resurrection that is within us. So we tap that. And Lord, as we move forward, we'll be doers of your word and not hearers only. And we know that we will be blessed as we do in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great rest of the week. We'll see you Friday night at the ladies' thing if you're a lady. We'll see you Sunday for church.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.